Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith without works is a dead faith. I almost entitled my sermon today, Ephphatha, mainly because I can pronounce it, and because of my speech impediment. I actually have a speech impediment I worked for years to overcome. I couldn't say yes, so everyone, Thee was my name. So when I have that Ephphatha, boy, I can do that one well. You know. But Ephphatha, be open. You know, it's one of those things that I thought was really interesting, because he tells us his ears were opened, his tongue released, and he spoke plainly. Isn't that important for all of us? The wonder of the Lord? Well, I think so. Our sermon today is going to be based on the Epistle of James. And if you've been at our Wednesday morning Bible studies, we have been really studying James extensively. Well, why is James important? Well, first of all, James is a half-brother of Jesus. You know, grew up with him from a little kid. But James got off the track. He was the bishop of Jerusalem, you know, so he's the head of the church. He started sending out missionaries that were teaching you had to be a Jew to be a Christian. Well, there's a little problem with that, because then you follow the laws of Moses, men have to be circumcised, and when you're working with a bunch of Gentiles, it becomes a little tough in the days without painkillers. Okay? Too bad Gene's not here, we could say good point. But folks, we know that's not the case. But we also know that Peter started to backslide. Paul calls those missionaries sent out the opponents, Judaizers, and the false prophets. Okay? But the thing is, Peter started to listen. Started teaching the same thing. And that's when Paul got mad. And they walked from Galatia, which was in Turkey, back to Jerusalem, 1,000 miles. And that's, we had that first Jerusalem council in AD 50, which is Acts 15 in the Bible. We have a record of that. And it's when the apostles got together, and Peter and Paul finally said to James, you can't do this. This is wrong. Okay? And so Peter stands up and has what is called Peter's confession. Peter said, I was wrong. And so we have the thing in James where this gospel was written between AD 49 and AD 50. Okay? And that right in the middle of that is when the Jerusalem Council happens. And we can actually see a change in James between the beginning of his gospel and the end of his gospel. Okay? So it's one of those things I find very interesting. Jeff said something to me when we were talking the other day. Can I quote you on this?
Sure, man.
You wouldn't mind. He said the thing that made it so comforting to him was that James was like us. He made mistakes, but with asking for forgiveness, he came back on track. And you know, I think that's a good example for all of us. The apostles were great men, but they were men, okay? And as men, they were sinners too. So as we look at the Gospel of James, James was teaching at the beginning of it the Jewish relationship about works and salvation. But here's the thing, is he wrong? And that's what we're going to look at today. Take a look at your bulletin right underneath the sermon. We've got the creed. Okay? Do you notice the creed's in three sections? Why is that? Well, the first section we deal with, I believe in God the Father Almighty. The second section is, I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Well, if that's the first part is the Father, second part is Jesus, what's the third part?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. They're all there. But look what's under Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sin, resurrection of the dead. It's not under Jesus, is it? How many of you had seen that before? The reason I'm bringing that up is we've been talking about that in both our confirmation class and in James. And it's surprising how many of us haven't really noticed that before. The Holy Spirit and partiality. This is why I'm doing this. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, okay? And then the one who's not, you say, well, go stand over there in the corner. We don't want to look at you. Or sit down at my feet, don't make any noises. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with your thoughts? Of course you have. The Bible tells us, do not judge others lest you too be judged. So do we judge others? Well, how do we do that? Well, we look at their cars, their clothing, their house. What restaurants do they go to? I mean, do they always go to the Prime Steakhouse or do they go to Golden Corral? You know? Ron, you like Golden Corral?
I like Golden Corral.
I do too. But you see what I'm getting at? If somebody's got money, you know, they like to spend it. I'm from Omaha. Warren Buffett, world's richest man. Okay? 5 years ago, he sold his 1988 Lincoln because they were bugging him about it. Well, 5 years ago, it was what, 2013, and he was still driving an 88. I've been to his house. I graduated with Susie. We used to go up there on Saturday nights, watch movies, and have popcorn. His house is a little bit bigger than my house. Okay? He doesn't live fancy. He buys his suits down at Landon's in downtown Omaha. It's not a fancy place. Heck, I bought shirts at Landon's, too. I used to have shirts made there because it was cheap. They do things well. You know what he eats for lunch? He goes to McDonald's and has a Diet Coke. When Bill Gates came, there's an old hole-in-the-wall Greek restaurant in Omaha called Petros. And I love Petros because they make their own homemade ice cream. I mean, they got a lunch counter, they got a few tables in there. So where does Warren Buffett take Bill Gates for lunch? Petros, because they got great food. He's a regular person. But yet, if you didn't know he was the richest man in the world, would you know that?
No.
No. And the thing is, if we were going to judge him by those standards, well, he might be one of the ones we want to go over there. See what I'm getting at? There's that story about the church that got a new pastor. Bum walks in and sits down. Everybody's, you know, those kind of things. Finally, one of the deacons comes in and says, you know, you haven't washed and things like that. Would you mind going to the back of the room? And finally, it got so bad, the guy just left. A few minutes later, he walks into the sermon, just walks up the front. He says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your new pastor. Did he make a point that day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you have loved that if I did that the first day? Well, it works though, doesn't it? You know, well, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Thank you for bringing that up. But we use rules to judge people. Are those God's rules? No, it's not. We live in God's creation, and we're saved through Jesus' redemption on the cross. But what does James teach us about that? For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. So if you don't have mercy for somebody, if you don't work with them, if you don't treat them like a normal person, is God going to show you mercy? No. And you remember, you got a show to get. Judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Well, who do we show mercy to, and why is this so important? We're supporting Jesus Loves Us Ministries. And we do the food because what happens is they make a big pot of soup. They just dump everything together when they get cans of soup. They take our sandwiches. They go out. And it reminds me of feeding time when you got cattle. You hit the horn. They all come out. You give them hay. Okay? Well, that's the way you do it out in cow country. So they come out, honk the horn. All these people come out of the forest. They get a sack lunch and a hot meal. What's the difference? But Jesus Loves Us Ministry has made a point to do this. Now, if they can get people in, they give them showers, they cut their hair, they cut their nails. So many people won't cut it. They cut their toenails. We, Peggy and I, when we were in Cincinnati, went out to one of the places that did that. And I saw men come in who were Vietnam veterans who had toenails that were 2 inches long.
Wow.
You and there should, you know, how can people live that way? I can't. But they are. And so somebody's got to take care of these people. Yeah, no. Luther says that the Holy Spirit is with us, in us, and through us. We are to be a conduit for the Holy Spirit to us, to use our strengths in his service. So, what if we stop that service for any reason? If we do not forgive others, are we forgiven?
No.
No. If we do not help others, are we helped? No. If we do not love, are we loved? No. Now, all of this is law today, isn't it? Because remember, law is what we do, gospel is what we receive. So I'm preaching about the law today. But think about this. In the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, everything Jesus says, you know, is telling us to do something, which is law. But it's coming out of Jesus' mouth. It's gospel. So can something both be law and gospel at the same time? Yes. Okay. For if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. Where's the gospel in that statement? Well, there's not much in it. So are we saved by the law or are we saved by the gospel? Well, we're saved by the gospel. So are we saved by what we do? Are works necessary for salvation? No. Here's the difference. I know so many of you grew up as Roman Catholics. And in the Roman Catholic Church, you're saved by what you do. We call that works righteousness. Okay? So works righteousness, in order to be saved, you've got to do good works. The operating word there is have to do good works. Now, through our salvation, this is what James is talking about. We want to do good works. Okay, we're already saved. And so what we want to do is give that salvation out to others. The Holy Spirit is with us, in us, and through us. You following me on this? And I think that's what James is really teaching us through this gospel. I think it's sort of a slippery slope. The law reminds us of the need for the gospel. But it's also the way how we apply the gospel in our daily lives. Because the law is what we do and the gospel is what we receive. So when James tells us that faith without works is a dead faith, it's true. And in the Creed, the part about the Holy Spirit is the part that deals with salvation. Not Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So, when I am talking, I had somebody tell me, well, Donna told me about this. She said, you're the first Lutheran pastor that's ever talked about the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, because when we look at what happens in the Creed, the Holy Spirit is sanctification, living the sanctified lifestyle, living holy. That's what sanctification means. All right? Who leads us in that? The Holy Spirit. Now, faith without works is a dead faith. When does the Holy Spirit enter us? At our baptism. Right? All right. So when the Holy Spirit enters us, it gives us a gift. What is that gift? Faith. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So faith without works, without the Holy Spirit working through us and leading us in service of others, is a dead faith. Pastor Coley, you haven't met him yet, but I've been talking. He will be here sometime and preach in our church. Okay? Black African, probably one of the greatest theologians. In fact, he's finishing up his doctorate in theology from Concordia Seminary, and he's actually teaching right now at a seminary in Africa. I mean, the guy's a great theologian. Now, he probably confirms 25 adults a month. All right, now he's working with people that are coming with backgrounds of Muslim and spirit, you know, animalistic spirits. But yet, he's got 25 people a month he's confirming. But how are those people getting there to be confirmed? How do those people get there to be baptized? Because people that are in his congregation that have met Jesus and have Jesus in their lives are telling their friends about it. You think they're going out and spouting theology? No, Jesus, okay? But who's leading them how to do that? The Holy Spirit, okay? And so when we look at this kind of stuff, you know, we look at what we want to do in terms of sharing our faith and doing good works through it. So do we have to do good works? No. Do we want to? Yes. So how do we do good works? Well, Jesus loves us ministries. You know, working here at the League building, Dr. Cream and I have been working here this week. We give back. You know, the League has given us so much back. You know, you get mad at me because I go out there and mow the lawn, but yet it has to be done, right? You know, so is it my way to give back to the League? Sure. I do that volunteer with about barbershoppers, okay? I sing with the one in Punta Gorda, assistant director now. I'm directing the one over here in London Bay. I have people that I'm talking to that I'm their pastor. I'm the only person they have that's a relationship that they have with the pastor. You know, we have people that have come here to sing and felt very comfortable here. You know, it takes time and hearts have to change, but it's an outreach ministry. You with me? So how do you volunteer? Well, get in the paper. There's always things that people looking for volunteers. You know, a faith without works is a dead faith. But does it have to be a horrible job to go out and do it? No. And it's, we do it because we want to, because people are important. The Holy Spirit uses us to help our neighbors. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Would Jesus be happy with that kind of love? I think so too. Folks, we're going to sing "This Is My Father's World," and that's the hymn right next to the one we just sang. Okay? But I love this. "This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one." So as you're singing that hymn today, that's our final prayer. And as you sing it, think of the words you're saying and how blessed you really are each and every day. And may this blessing, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.